All right, everybody, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. Today we've got some corporate updates, and we're kicking off this Wednesday with Zach Flood, CEO of Kenerland Minerals. He's becoming a frequent guest here on the podcast because there's a lot of news coming out of Kenerland. They do trade on the venture with KLD and on the OTCQX with KLDCF. This morning's news was actually regarding its South Uchi project, which is just east of Kinross's Great Bear project, if you do remember that sale from the Great Bear Resources not too long ago. Zach, welcome back. Give us a rundown of what you're seeing here at South Uchi.
Thanks, Trevor. It's a super exciting development in our portfolio. We got the project, the South Uchi project, back last year from Barrick. They had it optioned for about 2 years right after we staked it. We staked the ground just before Great Bear was taken out. It's a huge property, about 80,000 hectares in the Confederation Lake Assemblage Volcanics, which is the same belt of rocks that hosts Dixie, in the Red Lake area. So in the Birch Uchi Greenstone Belt, or the Red Lake Greenstone Belt's just to the west there. So Barrick completed 2 years of systematic till sampling there, kind of focused in early on a couple target areas that didn't really appear to get much better, but there was kind of a broad area of anomalism in their initial sampling that we had seen when we got the data back. And so once we received this project back, right away we just said there was a few other targets too. There's a base metal target and some lithium stuff as well, but there was this area that looked like there was some anomalism in the initial sampling for gold. So that is right away we said we got to get back on the ground. You know, we got to screen this area with really high resolution till sampling. And so we collected about 3,000 fine fraction samples over a really big area, this lake called Papanga, which is, typically also the big structures are kind of marked by these lakes, right? So, So we covered this big area about, probably, 8 kilometers by 10 kilometers with a high resolution till sampling program. When we got the data back, it was very apparent that there was some sort of gold system that we think is in there. Like the anomalism was super widespread. We had really high values in some of the till samples, like hundreds of PPB gold. There's a strong pathfinder signature as well with, tellurium, tungsten, some arsenic and antimony in different areas. So all the kind of signatures you'd expect if you're around kind of a bigger gold system or a system of some sort of scale. And also, when you step back and you look at the big structural setting, we're on the east side in a pressure shadow of a big kind of syn volcanic intrusion, which is a very typical setting globally for orogenic gold systems too. And actually, if you look at Great Bear, there's a big pluton, the volcanics wrap around it, and the LP fault is right on the east side in the pressure shadow as well. So we're sitting like, maybe 60, 70 kilometers to the east in the same belt of volcanic rocks, and we see this big pluton, and they're wrapping around it, and we're in the pressure shadow, and there's a huge kind of 5 kilometer by 8 kilometer golden till anomaly, really widespread, right? We don't quite know like where to put the drill at this stage. It's just, we know that there's likely some type of gold system out there. So just the fact that we're in these rocks that are super prospective, obviously, and more so after the Dixie Lake discovery, but also just in general, the Red Lake district is prolific. I mean, there's, 30 million ounces of gold at Red Lake. It's one of the biggest gold deposits in North America. It's really exciting, and we own it 100%. And so we're aggressively going to move this forward ourselves. We have a big surface program planned this summer, detailed mapping, boulder prospecting, rock prospecting, gold grain sampling with heavy mineral concentrates in the till. We're doing pretty much everything we can do to hopefully refine some quality drill targets, and then we'll look at potentially testing those, early next year. But
I gotta ask the question, why Barrick would give this up? Were they unwilling to do this type of work that needed to be done to better define the target, specifically the Papawanga target?
I think I think that they suspected there was something around there. Again, we weren't the operator of that project. They operated it themselves. Okay. They did focus in two areas kind of close by within that general target area, but they went straight to drill for till. So it's about 10 times more expensive when you start trying to drill and get base of till. There was still a lot of till on the surface. So, you know, had we done it, you know, we probably would have said, let's collect more samples and maybe they're not better quality samples because you're not getting that base of till. But I think, like, you know, we've always said, resolution is the solution. You just want to collect as many samples as you possibly can over a big enough area. And then, you know, when you step back, you can kind of see where the target is. So I think that was the problem, is they focused kind of too quickly into two specific areas. And they didn't really see the big picture that was happening there. And it takes a kind of a keen eye to recognize what's going on at kind of the wide space. The initial till sampling program was like kilometer space lines, 200 meter space samples. Those are really widespread sampling points. And we've now made a couple discoveries. We found, you know, Renault on the FROTEP project with Sumitomo doing this till sampling. And we also made another discovery with Newmont up in the northern Abitibi called Shibistawan. And we drilled 157 meters at, you know, almost half a gram gold in a brand new gold system there. And that was really complicated. It all depends on what your surficial environment looks like. If you have a complex surficial environment where there's, you know, lake sediments, there's glacial fluvial, which is more like kind of rivers coming out of the glacier, it can get really messy, and it's not always just like a laser beam till train. It's sometimes way more subtle than that. And so Shibistawan was a great example where, you know, at first we knew maybe there was something going on there. I mean, it was way worse looking than the Papaanga target here on this project. And what we had to do with Newmont was go back in, do the HMC till sampling. And sure enough, one of those heavy mineral concentrates turned up about 200 pristine grains right kind of within the target area where there's an interesting geophysical anomaly too. And that was enough for us to say, no, there's a gold system here. And that led to Newmont approving a first pass kind of maiden drill program on that too. So it's not always like super clear. I think at this point now that we've done all this sampling, it's pretty clear to us that there's a high likelihood of there being a gold system there. And I think one of the most exciting things about this, and this is kind of the best setup for making a new discovery, is you're in an area where there's no historical exploration. Like, you look at the exploration reports out there, and they were drilling iron formations in the 1950s to the south, and then another iron formation drill program to the north, not even in that kind of source target area. In the 80s, they drilled up there. Otherwise, there's been no prospecting that we can see in the records. There's been no drilling in the target area. So this is like a fresh area, new target, big scale, great geology. Yeah, so we're really excited about it.
You obviously mentioned the Dixie Project to your west. I mean, and you also mentioned specifically that LP fault. That was really the game changer for Great Bear Resources once that was discovered and really defined. And obviously, we've now seen Kinross put up even a larger resource on that project. I think that was just recently, actually. But Great Bear and that exploration team were blessed with really good infrastructure close to town, so there wasn't much of a camp. What does South Uchi have regarding infrastructure and accessibility?
It's not too bad. I mean, there is kind of like there's a road that goes, you know, to a town nearby, probably, you know, 20 kilometers away from the target area. There is some logging, not within the target area, but kind of around it. So, you know, there's decent enough infrastructure where Barrick established a camp pretty close to where that target area is. So it will probably use the same location, but yeah, there's no highway or power lines going over top of that, but that's probably why, again, this place hasn't been prospected. If you remember at Dixie, you know, they had drilled the Hinge Zone a long time ago as well. And there were even some holes through the LP fault before Great Bear acquired it that had some gold in it. So it wasn't totally kind of virgin in that sense. Whereas I think this area really is untouched, and that's exciting.
It's kind of fitting because actually tomorrow I'm scheduled to talk to Chris Taylor. He'll be on this week's long form episode, obviously. We're going to talk a lot of things on exploration off coming off of that win. It's the first time he's been on the podcast since being sold to Kinross. Yeah, it'd be a good time. But, you know, I guess what can you take away from Great Bear's success and really how they put a fresh look on this mineralization in this district? How do you apply that to South Uchi, or is it still kind of too early to tell here?
It's pretty early, but in general, I mean, it's same sort of thematic of you're in a part of the belt that historically prior to Dixie Lake wasn't necessarily recognized as being really prospective for big gold systems. And then you found, you know, they found Dixie Lake and the LP, and now there's, I don't know, 6+ million ounces or so there of gold. So clearly this part of the belt or belts have been overlooked. And, you know, when we staked the ground, Barrick approached us 2 weeks after we staked the ground, and they were actually looking at it too. And it was just, it's an area that was wide open for staking, which is, you know, the reason why we staked it wasn't a lot of scientific work or anything. It was just a big open part of the belt that looked like it hadn't really been explored. So, yeah, I think that's really, you know, the parallels we're drawing there are it's underexplored. It's obviously prospective now that we saw Dixie Lake, and we're kind of the first movers in here. So yeah, I think that's it's a good setup.
All right. Very good. Well, let's leave it at that, Zach, because there's going to be a lot more news, obviously, from all of the portfolio coming down the pipeline in the next couple of weeks. So I appreciate your time. And obviously, we're going to keep real close attention to all the early on the surface exploration work being done here at South Uchi throughout the year.
Awesome. Thanks, Trevor.
Yep.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.